Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast with Jason Wilkins. Life, art, marketing, and all the deliciousness in between. Here we go.
Okay, we're recording. Hey, everybody. It is episode 18 of the Art Burrito Podcast. And 18, I say it every time. I can't believe 18, but it's wild. And on the podcast today, I have Sid Hosker. And before we go any further, of course, we're going to open these. There we go. Thanks, Publican. I just went and picked up my new batch today. They're awesome over there. So I walk in and they have my beer ready. That's not easy.
The most amazing service.
Isn't it really? Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clay.
Thank you.
So this is very cool for me for lots of different reasons, but I feel like I should be saying Mrs. Hosker.
Oh, no, we don't need to do that. That's so funny.
It's kind of that weird thing where, like when you're in school and then you like see your teacher in a mall or something, and it's like, oh, this is really weird. It's like they exist outside of the school. But it's been really cool because, so you've since retired and now you have a studio right next to mine, which is super awesome. And so we've had a chance to kind of catch up and really chat a little bit, which has been really nice. And I always start out things with people by them giving me their origin story. So you can go back as far as you want, talk about yourself, where you grew up, what you were like as a kid, whatever.
Okay.
All the way up to now.
Wow.
And I'll just sit here and drink
this
my beer.
This might be a long story. Well, I was born in Peterborough, just on the outskirts of Peterborough. Spent my public school years in various rural schools around the city, and ended up at Thomas A. Stewart for my high school years. I think one of the cool things that happened with me was in grade six at Cold Springs. And both my teachers, Don Bent and Nancy Ross, kind of planted the seed about teaching for me.
Yeah.
They were terrific. And they were artsy. And I decided that I kind of wanted to be like them.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of that.
That's
and,
awesome.
And then being at TAS, great years. In the arts, I was heavily involved in music and visual art, had a great love for English, and all those things kind of came together in what I ended up doing for the rest of my career until last June.
So had you always kind of gravitated towards visual art, or was it like a mix of things?
I think it was a bit of a mix. For sure, that grade six year, as we were read to, we had afternoons where our teachers read us stories like Jack London and stuff like that. I was allowed to draw pictures.
Right.
And so I ended up having a gallery all the way around the room on my notepad paper.
Yeah.
And I felt really great about that. And so I just started. The drawing came first. My older sister was in the concert band at Crestwood, and we were forced to go to those concerts as kids.
Yeah.
And I think that was really cool because it planted a love of music.
Yeah.
So I was determined when I selected my options for high school that I was not going to take typing.
Yeah.
I was going to take art and music.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess when we were little, we also took dance. So from wee-wee, I started off in ballet and did all kinds of things, tap, jazz, ballet.
Yeah.
And then gave that up for my love of baseball.
Did you really?
Yes.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I was a bit of a you know,
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're doing all kinds of things. How long was your teaching career?
35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember what year you taught me. Cause it's all, you know how it is. Like when you're in high school, it's all blur later on. But I just remember we had a brief chat about this earlier, but like, with the, so for those of you who don't know and who aren't from Peterborough, we have a thing called the Integrated Arts Program here. And I was in the second year of that. And it was like transformative. Like it totally, I mean, I already knew that I wanted to do art and that mm-hmm. was my thing, but that nudge and that extra push like solidified it. Right. And I think it does for like a lot of students. Mm-hmm. So you were there from the beginning of that, right?
Yes. In various ways throughout mm-hmm. the years, you know, teaching different grades and expanding program, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a gang of us who were all involved in those very early years because, mm-hmm. With you coming along, that would have been in the fall of 1991.
Then, oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
It started in the fall of 90.
Yeah.
And so 1991 would have been the second year. So as yep. the program started, mm-hmm. you know, we all were in like the first grade 9 year, and then the grade 9s became grade 10s, and that was a new year, and so on till we got to grade 12.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of developing of program, a lot of meetings, a lot of collaboration.
Yep.
And figuring out what the students' needs were, what our role was. I think one of the things that I like about the program is that it can be geared to a student like you who mm-hmm. had their heart set on becoming an artist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so there's that, mm-hmm. But also students who love the arts but have designs on doing other things mm-hmm. with their lives. And so I think that the arts are really good for everybody, and that they teach those transferable skills.
Yeah.
That we all find come in handy.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. I say that so often to anyone who will listen to me, but basically just that, like, even if you're not in it for the long haul, as far as, you know, becoming a professional artist, which I would say most people, you know, there's not many that end up doing it as a career, but like, it boosts confidence. It teaches you to think in so many different ways. It's like, it's a massive, massive deal. Yep. How did it get kicked off? Do you know how it got kicked off?
Like, well, going back, and I hope I get all of these details correct. there had been a couple of instances where the future of PCBS was kind of on the line in terms of different plans for the school. And Kathy Rowland and John McCormick put together a proposal to put forward the integrated arts program. They felt there was a need for students mm-hmm. who had special interest and skill in that area. And so that was kind of the motivating factor, was let's start this new program, meet the needs of some students.
Yeah.
And also kind of boost the life of the school.
Yeah.
I was teaching at PCVS before the integrated arts program came along. It was a fabulous place to work. I loved it.
Don't even get me started. I that school was really special. It was really special. Yeah. The feeling just when you walk through the doors there, like, yeah, I had a great high school experience, and the school, I don't know what it was. It's, the teachers were amazing. I would say most of the people I interacted with were great at school. Like, yeah. And it was an old, like, it has a lot of history.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. It's a little bit stately.
Yeah.
I also think that the people in the building are really important mm-hmm. To creating that atmosphere. And I think one of the things that happened after we moved over to Taft, there were a couple of bumpy times for sure, but it was really gratifying to hear students refer to their experience in school with the program being shuffled over there, that it felt like their home away from home. And so, you know, I would never want to diminish the challenges that were visited upon us, but, you know, you've got to just forge ahead and do what you do. And
I imagine because it had such a special place at PCVS, was there a question that it would survive? Like if you moved it over, if it would like kind of, taint kind of what you guys had there? Like,
I think that certainly that those worries were floated around, but I don't think to the point where,
It wasn't a real concern.
No.
Yeah.
And the first year when we were at TAS was a little bit tough because we were all in transition. But wow, we were welcomed with open arms. We had new facilities.
Lots of bonuses there.
Certainly, having moved back into the downtown with my studio next to yours, I love being in the downtown and how, you know, you walk around the block and you meet a bunch of people, you know, you have relationships with.
That's the best part.
It's a huge community in the downtown.
We have a special place down here too. I've worked across Ontario for different things, and you know, just like any town, like Peterborough is shit on like sometimes, you know, especially downtown. It's amazing down here. It really is. We have a massive arts community down here and everyone supports everybody. Even just from the shops, like you go around the corner and meet someone, you know, from, you know, wherever down here. It's just a tight knit community. So yeah, super lucky to be down here. Like, yeah, every day I pinch myself a little bit. So,
and I think the arts community, like from a teacher's point of view, and this isn't just about the visual arts, but certainly the arts and, on a whole, we certainly enjoy a really strong relationship with the adults of the arts world, let's just say, the more established parts, like so supportive, so encouraging. It is really quite special that way.
It is. I have a, my daughter, as you know, is in the arts program now. She's really loving it, and she has anxiety issues for sure. And it's something she kind of tackles every day and deals with. For her to be able to like grab on to kind of like a life support kind of thing, like the arts, like it's priceless. Like, and then having the arts program in place to support that even, it makes a world of difference. So people don't realize like, the impact, even the groundwork that you laid for the arts program, and then kind of to see it chugging along and keep going, and then still impact lives, like what, 30 years later?
It's 30 years.
Yeah. It's incredible. And, I think a lot of the time people underestimate the value of the arts and programs like that. I don't know of many others in Ontario. Maybe you do, but, point being, for people like my daughter who struggle on a daily basis with things like that, it just makes a huge, huge difference. So yeah, just so you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And that's one of my other questions coming up too. Like, I'm sure you've seen the impact on kids who come in maybe who have issues or struggling with things, and then the arts have an impact on their lives, right?
I think so, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I know so, for sure. I think students who are involved in the arts have an avenue for kind of coming to an understanding about their place in the world. Mm-hmm. And they can like make observations, assess mm-hmm. their feelings, get it down, whether it be in a dance or a journal or yep. a painting or some writing, you know, small one-act scenes or improvisation. And I think that those things really provide youth with a way of coming to a greater understanding of themselves mm-hmm. and sharing. And then maybe they realize that they're not so alone in their feelings.
Yep.
And so you get a grasp of the universality of what it is to be a human being.
Yes.
And accepting yourself as you are and people valuing you for who you are.
Yep.
And it is, it is a positive thing for sure.
I've always thought of it this way, and it's because this kind of perspective can take you through life. So I've always thought it's something that I was given even through training and art school, whatever, that nobody can ever take away. Mm-hmm. Right. And even if you don't pursue it past high school, it's still something no one ever can take away. And you have that skill, you have that foundation. And it's like you said, it's something kids can grab onto and like find purpose, right? Yeah. It's mm-hmm. a huge, huge deal. Yeah. And then the flip side is then you hear stories of art funding being cut and music programs being cut and like, yeah, the impact on that's, yeah, that sucks. I hate seeing that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure.
Did the arts program ever come up against that? Where it's like, oh, no more funding.
No.
Wow, that's awesome.
No, I think we've received some pretty solid support all through the years for sure. One of the things you said just made me think of something, and I've lost it a little bit, but one of the things that we do come up against a little bit, and I think this is in general, this isn't just unique to us in the arts program, is that the idea that there are no jobs in the arts.
Yeah.
And that is simply just not true.
No.
If you look around, everything that you use in your life is designed by someone. And just the behind the scenes, the creative teams, the all of the administration, everything. There's mm-hmm. there are so many opportunities. Just need to find your little niche.
Man,
get started.
Yeah. Those are some good words. Cause like you really do find what you look for. Like if you find, and when I was teaching at, cause I had some workshops at TAS for the arts. And that was a message that I was trying to preach to these guys. Cause, to get into their head that they don't know how to do anything. And, I don't know who puts it there, but it's there regardless. So then the idea is to say to them, like, you have total control over your mindset and your internal dialogue. And easier said than done. It takes practice, like building muscle. But for me, it's something else I was going to bring up, but basically it's like if I'm in a funk or in that state where I'm kind of like feeling kind of crappy or my mood's down or whatever, it is recognizing that. And then it has an impact on your ability to do something. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big message for kids for sure, is to just to kind of work on that. I think that's where it all starts, is your mindset. Right. So when it comes to getting jobs in the arts, they're out there. They are 100% out there. I see it all the time. And especially now where the day and age we live in, where there's the internet and you have access to, like, you can just reach anybody. Mm-hmm. So that was another message I was putting out there, was if you're creating something, get it out there. No one's going to see it. unless you get it out there. And that takes some courage for sure.
It does.
Again, easier said than done, but yeah, it's there. It's there for you, right?
Oh, for sure. I have often said to students, you never know what will come from saying a small yes, that bigger opportunities come from a small start. And I mean, I could name a whole bunch of things that have happened because of that first, you know, saying yes to something.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean you should be saying yes to every single thing that comes your way, but
no, but
just you, yes.
Yeah.
That yes.
And that's another,
I am open to this.
Yes.
And then you never know where it's going to go.
You don't know. And that's another message I preach is when they're building their work, their body work, work for free, do what you can. Like if someone's asking you to do something, do it. Like, you know, because they think you have a skill, do it. Even if it means not getting paid for it right away. Because there's real value in that. Like real value. I still work for free, like all the time. But it has to be in the right situation, right? Where I think, yeah, I want to do this. It sounds cool. And it could lead to other things. Mm-hmm. That's how I build most of my business is someone sees the last thing you did and then you build on that. And then someone sees that and you build on that. Just one thing after the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else am I going to talk about? I did have down, so another question I ask is, so I had, what are you inspired by? But I also like to say, what's your source of power? Because I'm a big superhero fan. So like, you know, I always say like Superman gets his power from the sun, right? So what's your source of power? Like for me, for example, like I said, if I know everyone's good at home, they're healthy, you know, they have a roof over their head, I'm cool. I can go out and do my thing during the day, right? Where do you kind of get your energy from? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, a little bit. I've been finding walking has been a big wake up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Having the time to do that, and feeling that fresh air.
Yep.
And being invigorated by that.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of meditative a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just paying attention to the things around me, the small little things,
mm-hmm.
because and this is something that I've shared with my students. So I guess what my superpower is paying attention to the little things.
Yeah.
Because those little things make up the moments of your day.
Yes.
And they then grow into hours and days and weeks. And so it's those little things that actually make up your life.
Yes.
And they're important to be mindful of. And and they can be a great catalyst to art ideas and just, you know, responding to certain things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to say that one thing that has happened for me since moving into this studio space above Watson and Lou has been just, I find the conversations that we each have on an individual basis and a collective basis are extremely inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that collaboration, which I've had my studio in my house, which is I'm by myself.
Yep.
I've had, of course, lots of people contact during my day. So the by myself thing was really nice to create a balance.
Yeah.
But this has been just so lovely.
Yeah.
And it has been a huge springboard to, you know, making new art, learning new techniques. And
see, I had that thought when I went out totally on my own and moved into here. I thought, you know, do I really need that extra expense? And do I really need, so I just said, yeah, I'm going to do it, whatever. And it's been literally the best thing ever. Cause it's like you said, it's a catalyst for other things. Like I started drawing on the walls and that's led to other things. And you just don't know.
Right.
Like you just don't know what's going to happen when you have that time by yourself. I had Leslie on the last podcast, who, if everyone was listening, is the textile, it's from Matter House outside my studio here, outside our studio. She's very much a collaborative person. I'm not like I enjoy working by myself, and that's great. But having you guys up here and yeah, chatting, yeah, I'd be pretty lonely. And then you're right, you don't bounce stuff off anybody, or you end up missing that part of things. And with you coming from teaching, and like you said, being in front of people like all day, and then having to talk to people all day, yeah, it must be like a huge kind of transition too, though, right?
It is. It's a huge transition.
Yeah.
Coming from like those 35 years were really great.
Yeah.
I mean, the ups and downs and the challenges and the triumphs and all that, yep, all together was just a great 35 year run of working with students,
yeah,
and talking about ideas and diving into issues and, yep, having failures and all that. And so going full tilt with that for,
yeah,
so long, and then it just kind of comes to a grinding halt on a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I found myself kind of spinning my wheels and not regretting that I had retired,
yep,
but that I felt like I was oddly pulled in a bunch of different directions. So while I was doing one thing, I thought, oh, I should be doing something else. And so I just had to have a little chat with myself and say, Sig, calm down.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, you can set up your day however you like and dedicate a certain time to things. And
yeah,
yet you don't have to either.
Yeah.
And, but it has been an adjustment.
Yeah. Well, I've said on a previous podcast, I spent the first 2 months in here feeling really shitty, like pretty lonely, and not knowing what really the hell I was doing. Like, it was kind of like, okay, because I had quit because I was working at another place for a while. So I had that backup income while I was still doing my own thing. And, but yeah, it took me about 2 months to get comfortable. Like, I really didn't expect it. I was excited, but I didn't expect to feel really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, oh, like, why am I feeling like that? But yeah, it's just being on your own and then not knowing kind of freaks you out. Right. So that's something that I've been conscious of lately too, is you were saying that about the little moments. And I've been trying to take worry out of my thoughts, like, because it robs you of what's going on in the day that you're in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, I'm trying to be conscious of that now too, is like, okay, what are you worried about? Okay. Why are you worried about it? And move on. Cause it affects your entire day, and then it affects you creatively, and then you can't get stuff done. And yeah.
So if you figure that out, can you please share? I tend to be a bit of a worry bird.
Well, I shouldn't say never. I'm still worrying 100%. Yeah. I think that's kind of part of working for yourself, is like, yeah, you kind of have to worry, because yeah, if you're not worrying and you're not thinking about what's to come, then yeah, you're screwed. There's got to be some planning there, but I'm learning to realize what's worth worrying about and what's worth,
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you're right. There's so many, yeah, little things when you really take into perspective, like, you know, what are you really worried about? Okay. That's worth it. This is not,
mm-hmm,
move on kind of thing. Yeah, for sure. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back. We're back now. And so I want to find out from Sid about, because we were during our little break there, we were talking about the arts program and all the cool stuff that's come from it. And then, so I want to find out kind of really neat stories from students you've taught. Because again, to kind of talk about the impact the arts have on kids. So yeah, anything pop out? Like,
there are a couple of things.
Yep.
One of the things that I treasure most, and this is like a huge umbrella statement, is just the nature of the conversation,
yeah,
that I've had the privilege of having with so many students.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting to know them, having chats about everyday stuff, bigger issue stuff,
yeah,
plans, I really enjoyed that mm-hmm. part of the job.
Really getting to know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having the door open all the time.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. There were a couple of things that stand out as kind of stellar moments working with students.
Yeah.
And one was when the, I think it was like the national or it could have been the International AIDS Conference came to Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I had a grade 9. This was an open level class. Mm-hmm. And we were delving into elements and principles of design. And I was standing in the lineup of chapters, and there was this funky postcard on the rack.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound quite out of the norm, but there was a postcard with all kinds of weirdly colored shaped condoms hanging from a line.
Yeah.
And so I, as part of what we were doing in class, I had a guest come from PARN to talk about mm-hmm. What they do. And we created a piece in the context of Canadian art and modern art. So we talked about Joyce Wieland and group mm-hmm. art and quilting. And Rauschenberg and soft sculpture and Klaus Oldenburg. And so there was a huge art history unit attached to this, along with the elements and principles of design. The long and the short of it was we designed a giant condom that was about 17 feet long.
Yeah.
And we hand stitched it together.
Wow.
All of the students using an X cross stitch with colored thread. And we talked about all of the elements of design. So repetition, line, yeah. Color theory. And my idea was to get those fancy condoms, which I couldn't find, to have them on the sculpture itself. At the end of the Tim Hortons, there's the Forbidden Pleasures store.
Yeah.
And so I ventured in there and discovered a huge cognac glass full of colored condoms that were lifesaver flavor. And so my grade 9s just embraced this whole situation with the most amazing maturity. And they were very serious about it.
Yeah.
And so my idea was to open up these condoms and this is the way we all were going to sign the condom, the giant condom.
Yeah.
We were going to stamp our names on the condoms and put them on a small panel.
Yeah.
And so as we were opening up the condoms, I realized that the printmaking ink was not going to adhere to the condoms. And so this was like a moment of me having not planned properly and just had this idea and thought, okay, we're going to do this.
It's going to work no matter what. Yeah.
Well, it didn't quite, but instead of using the printmaking ink, we just used acrylic paint and we got that going, but I was terrified. But the moment we all opened up the condoms in the classroom, the place smelled like a candy store. And I still have the condom, and it hung at the Art Gallery of Peterborough in a group show with various students from around town. Mickey Rinders was involved. Her students were involved from TAS in that show. And I was really proud of them. Karamina Brocks, bless her dear heart, she comes to mind because she was the one who took the panels home and figured out how we were going to stitch it together.
Yeah.
So every piece had to be measured and stitched, and it had to be straight. And it was a big task, but that is a highlight, creating that thing with those grade 9s.
How long ago was that?
Oh gosh. I'm not sure. I'd have to really sit down and.
Yeah. But did you get any flack for it?
None. I mean,
really?
No.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Because I thought, you know, first thing you think of is like, you know, parents or whatever being like, hey, you know, don't make a giant condom.
Well, we did have the discussion at the beginning.
Okay.
If there's anyone uncomfortable,
right?
Please, you need to be able to speak to me in private.
I mean, it makes sense.
Right?
It's great you did it. It makes total sense, but you know how it is. It
sure did demystify a whole bunch of things.
Yes.
And that was really good in itself. But the coming together of doing that project was really neat.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah.
So you probably have, I'm sure you have other moments like that for sure. But was that something that if you were to take that experience and compare it to something, was there anything else that kind of pops out? Cause that's I love that one, but is there anything else that you can recall that kind of compares to that even?
Well, in 2010, 2011, I was challenging my senior class to go downtown to negotiate exhibition space for their final works. And they did that.
Yep.
And as a result, we kind of embarked upon this little special relationship with Mike Watt and Flavor Fashion. Mm-hmm. And a short while after that, I got a call from Jess Russell asking me if I would be interested in becoming involved in a project called Walk the Walk. And I didn't quite understand what that was.
Yeah.
And I said, yes.
Yeah.
Without fully understanding.
Yeah. That's how I do most things. And you figure it out later. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I knew there was going to be some choreography involved. So I spoke to Susie Clark and I said, hey, do you want to do this project with me? I don't fully understand what we're doing, but what do you think? And she jumped on board. And it was a year of being involved with a group of about 20 students, competing in these social media events and creating videos and designing things, designing headphones. So there were different competitions.
Yeah.
And it was all about earning points to earn a spot to compete in the final event.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a long story, but what ended up happening was PCVS had the opportunity to go to Huntington Beach U.S. Open of Surf in California.
Oh my God, that's cool.
The event was called Hurley Walk the Walk. So Hurley, Nike, Skull Candy was another sponsor. And so our team with Mike Watt, Jess Russell, and our VP, Paul Doig at the time.
Yeah.
And Susie Clark and I were in California for 3 days. Performing something that we had put together.
Yeah.
Susie choreographed it, and we had a blast. We were voted in second, and we made friends with people. Grossmont High School,
yeah,
in the States, it was just a stellar event. It was, they performed this piece on a catwalk on the beach. We won the headphone competition. So
that's awesome.
All of our team got free headphones.
That's awesome.
And, yeah. And
what an experience.
It was a great experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when we talked earlier about being downtown and meeting up with people that just because they're around here and you know them. Mike Watson, one of those. Just that sense of community in Peterborough is it's amazing. Just reaching out, hey, you want to do something? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that so much. So we'll end it out soon, but I always like to ask my guests what advice they would give to anybody else kind of coming up. So you're in a unique situation because you've spent so long teaching, which is really awesome. And then now you're focusing on your art. So what advice would you give to either maybe someone coming up teaching or maybe someone coming up as an artist, or both, or whatever?
That's interesting. I think I would encourage people who are coming up teaching to kind of channel that passion they have for their subject matter, because it's tough being a teacher sometimes, but if you're passionate about what you're doing, it'll carry you a long way.
Yeah, that's good advice for anything.
It is.
Yeah,
it really is. It is good advice for anything.
It is.
Anything at all.
Yeah.
You got to do the work.
Yeah.
And you got to love it. You got to love the work. And I think that for me anyway, the teaching has been just, it's been pretty inspiring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it must be cool even seeing if you keep tabs on like people who are, cause we know a few who have gone on and do really cool things. Mm-hmm. It must be cool to see that, cause you have a part in that, right? You have a part in that, which is really awesome. So I guess that's it. And I want to say thank you so much. And, it's really cool how things come full circle like this. It's like, I love it. I love it. And, it's exciting to have you next door, and I really appreciate you coming on. And just, like I've said it before, just so you know, the arts program, it means everything. It means everything to someone who, like, I knew early on what I wanted to do, but some kids don't, but they know they have something, right? And having that in place just solidifies for kids, like, yeah, you know, I can do this, and I have people around me that believe that I can do this, right? So it's a massive deal. So if you're ever doubting that, you know, what you did didn't have an impact, yeah, had a massive impact. So thank you so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Publican. And thanks for everyone for listening. And we'll see you next time.